Is the European debt crisis becoming a banking crisis? And if so, what's at stake for U.S. banks?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media, broadcasting live this week from the BBC in London. Good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson with The Morning Open, a look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. This week, we're in London to get up close and personal with the European debt crisis, which is posing new threats to the American financial system. We'll have details in a moment. But first, where's Wall Street? Stocks are down right now. The Dow down 11 points at 10,797. The NASDAQ down about 0.5%, and the S&P 500 down about 0.3% right now. European markets, though, are up today between 2 and 4%. Some news this morning on the job front in the U.S. as we await Friday's big September unemployment report from the Labor Department. The payroll processing company ADP said the private sector added 91,000 jobs last month. But any optimistic news on jobs can be totally overshadowed if the financial system starts freezing up. And here in London this morning, the first question that was asked at the BBC's business news meeting was, is the European debt crisis turning into a banking crisis? And that's where we're going to start today with our regular Wednesday guest, Josh Brown of Fusion Analytics. He's with us live. Good morning.
Hello. How are you?
I'm great, Josh. So leaders here in Europe are sort of trying to figure out today what they're going to do about this troubled Belgian bank Dexia, which is having problems. They don't want the problems to spread across the financial system. Is this now a banking crisis in Europe?
You know, I think if we're not at the point where it's a banking crisis, we're right on the precipice. The important thing to understand is all of these major European banks are also big holders of the bonds of these countries. So if there's any question that any of these countries' bonds are not worth 100 cents on the dollar, so to speak, right off the bat, you get into this zone where there could be a banking crisis.
And how much of a concern is that where you are in New York on Wall Street?
You know, I don't think we're quite there. The only bank that's rumored to have big exposure to French banks, for example, is Morgan Stanley. But really, it's not a huge concern. We have our own problems we're working on.
Josh Brown of Fusion Analytics, thanks so much as always.
Thank you so much.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Allianz, insuring more than 80 million customers worldwide and providing retirement solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. AllianzUSA.com. By Novo Nordisk, since 1923, combining drug discovery with technology to turn science into diabetes treatments at NovoNordisk-US.com. And by Reputation.com, helping small business owners, professionals, and executives monitor, protect, and improve their online reputations. Reputation.com.
Well, if the secret to fixing the European debt crisis is about restoring confidence in Europe's banks and countries, then really it all comes down to what we know. What do we know about the banks and what they're holding? And what do we know about what the governments can do about it? When it comes to the European debt crisis, we at Marketplace get a lot of what we know from our European correspondent, Stephen Beard, who joins me now in person. Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning, Jeremy. Welcome to London.
Well, thank you. It's nice to be here. I want to first start by asking you, because we go to you very frequently when we cover the European debt crisis. We're hearing from you, a Brit. And often in U.S. media, people are hearing from Brits covering this crisis. Do you think that there is a British anti-euro bias because you guys are not part of the euro and you look at it and say, let them do what they want?
Heaven forbid that we would show bias, Jeremy. No, I think skepticism is a better word. You're right, Britain didn't join the euro. It was skeptical about it in the run-up to the launch of the euro. This country's always been rather semi-detached in Europe, a rather reluctant member of the European Union. But boy, are the Brits glad today that they didn't adopt the euro.
But do they feel now that they're somehow immune from the European debt crisis? I mean, surely it would reach the shores of the UK if things were to start defaulting.
It certainly would. There may be some Brits who are still gloating about the disarray in continental Europe, but I think the reality is sinking in. Britain is horribly exposed to this crisis.
Is there a moment, Stephen, because you've been traveling all over Europe covering this crisis for Marketplace the last couple of years, Is there a moment that sticks out in your mind when you realized the magnitude of this thing?
Yes, I think it's in Athens. I was covering a big protest march. I went back to my hotel, switched on the television, and there was a documentary, newsreel of the Second World War, marching stormtroopers, Hitler ranting, and it went on and on for hours. The anti-German sentiment in Athens is extraordinary. And this is the real irony and the paradox of this. The euro was part of this whole process of integrating Germany within Europe after the Second World War, creating harmony and friendship. It seems now to be having the opposite effect.
Well, Stephen, let me ask, can this be compared to the United States? If there was one state that wasn't doing so well, needed to be bailed out by the other states, I assume that that could be done without bringing down the entire union.
Big difference. In the Eurozone, we're talking about 17 different countries, different cultures, different histories, different traditions, different languages. And that is an absolutely key point. Because of the language barrier in Europe, there's not the labor mobility that there is in the United States. Mm. People can't go from one depressed part of the Eurozone to another as easily as they might be able to in the US. Language is all important. Language is the key. After all, language is why you're talking to me about the Eurozone debt crisis.
You speak English.
We speak the same language, more or less.
More or less. Marketplace's Stephen Beard. Stephen, it's great to be here with you in person in London.
And great to see you, Jeremy.
And finally, some evidence of that language barrier that Stephen was just talking about. I got into a little trouble a couple days ago when I went to get a bite to eat here in London. I walked into a pub and asked the bartender if I could take the table in the corner. She was shocked. She asked, "Can you take it?" I said, "Yeah, can I have that table over there?" "You mean, can you sit at it?" she said. "Yeah, of course." Maybe I'm a little further away from the Queen's English than I thought. Or maybe she was just messing with me. In London, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Ah, college days. Freedom, exploration, discovery, and this too.
I was eligible for every grant in the book, every loan. Still came out with 30 grand of debt.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. One solution? A bachelor's degree for less than 10K. The story next time on Marketplace is from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.